In the Crusader's Footsteps, the Anglo-American Achilles' Hubris. Since Islam and Christianity began fighting in the 7th century, the Holy Land has often brought disillusionment. After the Crusades, all 9 of them, after the fall of Constantinople in 1453, and 5 centuries later for the British in particular after World War I, unmindful Western nations may still be playing out the Crusader hand. As we will see, in the months before George W. Bush sent U.S. troops into Iraq, his inspirational reading each morning was a book of sermons by a Scottish preacher accompanying troops about to march on Jerusalem in 1917. One of the more chilling themes of world history is the relationship between great wars and religious ambition. Holy war inflames religion into arrogance, and as all 4 of the nations we have examined were passing their apogees, there was talk about the Antichrist and Armageddon, one of Christendom's familiar mass excitements. 5th-century Romans whose forebears had cursed Nero now damned the Vandals and Huns. After the Reformation, popes and Spanish kings became the Antichrist to Protestants. Then when France emerged as the major threat to Dutch power in 1672 and thereafter, the Netherlands named Louis XIV the Antichrist. The papacy, in turn, gave crusade-like status to the Habsburg-Spanish battle against Protestant heresy. Although the Europe of 1900 to 1914 represented the world's most advanced civilization, talk of Armageddon and crusadership flourished. By 1914, military recruiting posters showed St. George, St. Michael, angels, and even Christ in the background. When hostilities began, German churchmen preached holy war in the East against Russia and in the West against atheistic France. Kaiser Wilhelm himself also pretended to be a Muslim sympathizer to bolster his alliance with Turkey and ambitions in the Middle East. Britons, however, singled out the Kaiser and became almost manic over the return of the Hun and the threat to world civilization, against which God had marshaled his chosen island people. The most extreme blessing of the canons came from the Bishop of London, A.F. Winnington Ingram, who called the war a great crusade, we cannot deny it, to kill Germans. He advised the Guardian that if you ask for my advice in a sentence as to what the Church is to do, I answer, mobilize the nation for a holy war. We have seen that between 1870 and 1914, the British developed a national psychosis of war expectation, and the United States displayed a lesser version in 1917 to 1918. Several books have been written about the U.S. Church's militants, for the rhetoric among U.S. clergy was as overblown as any in Europe. The fuller U.S. parallel developed out of the Cold War with the Soviet Union. In the late 1970s and 1980s, the nascent religious right became a vocal participant, with prominent evangelical ministers arguing that Christianity could not convert the world for Christ with Soviet atheism in the way. From Ronald Reagan's White House down to grassroots congregations, the Soviet Union, the evil empire, became a biblical as well as ideological foe. Struck in the early 1980s by world turmoil seeming to match the prophecies of the Bible, Reagan brought up the A word, Armageddon. In those years, end times preachers named the USSR as the evil confederation supposedly referred to in the Bible. When the Soviet Union collapsed between 1989 and 1991, U.S. religious conservatives quickly identified a roster of replacements. Islam as the primary evil force, and Iraq and Saddam Hussein, respectively, as 1. The re-embodiment of the evil Babylon, and 2. The leading new contender for the role of Antichrist. While few U.S. office holders indulged any candor, many evangelicals and fundamentalists did. In 2003, Richard Cizik, vice president of the National Association of Evangelicals, told the New York Times that evangelicals have substituted Islam for the Soviet Union. The Muslims have become the modern-day equivalent of the evil empire. This gains plausibility if we think about how the U.S. enthusiasm is at least partially replicating the evangelical, crusading, and Armageddon-flavored floundering in the British Empire during and just after World War I. Then, as now, British and American sanctimony reinforced each other, and the naivete and global moralizing that Woodrow Wilson added to British misjudgment would be equaled in 2003 by British Prime Minister Tony Blair's reinforcement of Washington's missteps in Iraq.